Welcome back to the Adulterous Whore. I hope you've had a wonderful reading week. I have had a really brilliant weekend. As it's Tuesday today, we actually had a conversation on Friday. So you won't have to wait so long to see episodes because I'm hoping to do 2 a week. And a little update on my newest podcast that's coming with my co-host Hannah. We finally give it a name. It's going to be The Toppling TBR with Hannah and Stacey. So I'm really excited for that. Me and Hannah have spent the last few days really having a conversation about how we want to structure this, what we're going to do, coming up with all the graphics and the marketing stuff. It's been a lot of fun. I'm having a great time and I cannot wait to share that content with you. But today, I thought we would talk about the banned books that are currently being banned in schools. Like, so I live in Alberta, and one of the biggest problems we have right now is there's a lot of content in the kindergarten to grade nines that a lot of parents feel shouldn't be there. And I'm going to discuss 3 of the top books that I found and the reasoning why, and I'm going to talk about what I feel about that. So before we get started, let's see what you can buy at the bookstore today. That's right. It's publication day. So we've got A Dance of Lies by Brittany Arena, and that is an action adventure fantasy kind of book. Backhanded Compliments by Katie Chandler, and that one is an LGBTQ sports romance. Caught Up by Nevessa Allen, and that one is a dark romance, and that is the second book from Lights Out. I am absolutely dying to get my hands on an audio copy of that one. Charity Tricket is Not That Glamorous by Christine Stringer. And that one is, okay, it's kind of like it's a funny book. It's women's fiction. Now, I read this book before it was published. And honestly, it starts out really great. Has a low in the middle. It kind of gets a little boring. But honestly, I actually really enjoyed the book. So if you're looking for a funny women's fiction read, that one definitely probably should be on your radar. I read it. I didn't listen. I read that one, okay? Bury Your Bones in the Midnight Soil. That one's by V.E. Schwab. And it's a fantasy, historical fantasy, I think. And I think it also has some LGBTQ content in it. Like, I think it's, if I remember rightly. Now, that one I actually picked as my book of the month pick for the new release. I do have an art copy of it. I don't know why I never got around to reading it, but I actually have it already on my Kindle, but I think I'm going to wait for my book of the month copy to arrive before I start it. Like, it looks really, really good, but I got really behind on my arcs, and that sometimes happens to me because, like I said, I'm a mum, okay? I've got 4 kids, 9 and under, okay? And that is a lot of work. So keeping up on my reading sometimes I can, sometimes I just can't, whatever, you know? Happens. Next was Finding Grace by Loretta Rothschild. And that one's like a contemporary fiction, like a kind of literary contemporary fiction. Now, this one is a debut. And I received an art copy of this months ago. And I read it a while back. And you know what? It's one of those books where the story and the way it's like put together is really different because we start with the book with a man and wife and a child, and she really wants another child, and she has a surrogate, and she dies, and the child dies, but we still get her point of view in the book with her being dead, and I'm like, this is so not going to work. Like, this is the weirdest thing ever. It works. Trust me, it worked. As far as debut novels go, I think this one might be one of the best I've ever read. Like, she really nailed it for me. So if you read contemporary fiction, you should definitely add this one to your list. Last is His First Wife by Sue Watson. And this one is a thriller. And again, I got an audiobook copy of this one a few months back. And honestly, you can't go wrong with Sue Watson. Like, her books, they're really, really good. She knows how to write a really good thriller. Like, I love her books. And her audiobooks too, they tend to be quick. They fly. She knows what she's doing, okay? Just get on there, okay? You may or may not know, it is Audiobook Appreciation Month, June. Every year this happens, okay? So if you haven't listened to an audiobook before and you really want to try it,
this is the time to do it because there are a lot of really, really great ones. Like, I don't, you probably missed it now, but Audible was having a sale on their audiobooks, and a lot of them were like between $2 and $4. And that's a really great price. I didn't do it this year because I already have so many ALCs, that's advanced listener copies, that I couldn't warrant spending any money when I have like 80, and I'm not even exaggerating here, okay? I have about 80 audiobooks I still haven't gotten around to listening to. And because I'm a complete freak, I keep requesting books from Libby as well. So I've got like, I've probably got like 25 audiobooks on Libby as well. And honestly, I probably need to like slow my roll. So I really did avoid the sale. And part of me wishes I hadn't, because they had like, I think everything was on sale. So I could have got like brand new books dirt cheap, but I did. I'm like, Stacey, be a grown up. Okay. Don't do it. So I didn't. But I will tell you about some of the audiobooks that I've been listening to this week. So I don't know if you've ever heard of this series, but it's a book series by John Mars, and it's called Dark Future. And it has, I think, 5 or 6 books in the series so far. Like, I've done 3, and I did them out of order. You can listen to them out of order because while they do reference what happened in another book, it really doesn't take away from each story. So I started off with the one, and that one was kind of like, it's about some company has found a way to take your DNA and find your exact perfect match, right? So, and all this stuff goes wrong. Like, somebody has got like mad hate on for the company, and like, anyway, I'm not going to spoil it, but these audiobooks, like, I'm currently listening to The Minder. The one was book one, and I listened to book 5 like first, but it, as I said, it really didn't take away from anything. It's very futuristic, like having babies in the metaverse, and people are watching it like it's a reality TV show. Like, it's, yeah, like if you like the futuristic stuff, it was so worth it. Like, I cannot wait. Like, my library doesn't have the other books yet, and that's kind of a bummer, but I can wait because my library is normally pretty good. If you request something, like, they will try. And being that they already have half the books, like, I'm not overly concerned that they won't get the rest. And if I have to read them, I will. But the audiobooks are really good because they have, I think they had different narrators, right, for the audiobooks, which was like for each character, which was kind of nice. I'm not gonna lie, because there's a lot of points of views. Like, his books have a lot of point of views, okay? So be prepared for that. And then something else I've been listening to, like, it's funny because I started with the Lunar Chronicles, and the first audiobook I think was like 9 hours, and then each subsequent book after that got larger and larger and larger, and like book 4 was like 24 hours. I'm like, good thing I listened to these things at like 3 times the speed, because that is a really long audiobook, and that there's like little like novellas that go in between it. I have them to listen to, but I wanted to listen to the core 4. So, but there, it was really very well done. Like, if you don't know much about the Lunar Chronicles, so what Marissa Mayer had done is she has taken fairy tale stories. So the first book is Cinderella, but she's a cyborg. Like, so she's part robot. And it's all about her story of like living with her like evil stepmother and stepsisters, and like the prince is really interested in her and whatnot. It's really good. And each book introduces you into a new storytale character, or a new fairy tale character. I really enjoyed them. I don't know why it took me so long to pick the books up, because I don't know. I guess the idea of like Cinderella being a robot may have put me off in the first place. But my library had Cinder for like borrow right now. And I'm like, fuck it, I'll give it a shot. I didn't have time for it, but I did it anyway. So I really enjoyed it. And the last one that I'm halfway through it. It's Shield of Sparrows. I don't know if you've seen it. I have. Again, I don't know if you can see behind me, but I have the Sprayed Edge book. And because I'm kind of a freak, I don't want to like ruin it. Listening to the audiobook made more sense to me, so I can leave that as a trophy. Yeah, look, you'll get used to me being an absolute freak in that case, okay? You will. Because I kind of am. But anyway, so it's a book by Daphne P- Perry, I think the name is. I think it is. And I'm halfway through and it's good so far. Like it's good. And I've heard a lot of mixed reviews. Like some people say it's really good. Some people didn't like it. And I, you know what? You're going to find that with any book. Okay. That's just a thing. Now, the problem with audiobooks is so many things can go wrong when you're listening. Okay. Like firstly, if you find a book, and it might be a brilliant book, it might be the best book ever written, but you can't get past the narrator's voice. Like this doesn't happen to me much, but it has. Okay. There was one and the guy was trying to talk with this like faux Italian accent. And I wanted to shoot myself in the face so I didn't have to hear it anymore. And that wasn't like an ALC. So I kind of was like obligated to at least try and finish it. But I literally wanted to claw my ears out by the end of it. So a narrator really can make or break a book. And like I listened to, this was a while back, I listened to, oh gosh, what series was it? Oh, Virgin River. Now, it's the same audiobook narrator for all of them. And then she narrated something else. And I'm like, all I kept seeing in my head was like Virgin River. And I'm like, this is not computing. So I know some people have like favorite narrators, but for me, when you like, because there's quite a lot of books in Virgin River. I think there's like at least 15. I can't remember exactly how many books. So that's a long time to have a narrator in your head telling you the same like story in the same world, right? It was really hard. So for a while, I actually avoided her. I actually had to avoid her because all I kept envisioning was Virgin River and it was weird for me. Like, yeah, so that can also be a problem. Maybe that's just me. You know what I mean? Maybe that is just me. Oh God, I feel really sorry for you people stuck listening to me because I am a weirdo. And the other thing that can be a real problem with audiobooks is when it's not like there's technical problems. Because sometimes it doesn't happen very often, but like I have heard people complaining about this. When you can hear them like swallow, like when you can hear them actively swallowing or like the odd tongue click or like something just wasn't removed properly during the editing process. And that sometimes sets people right on edge. But because I listened to it 3 times the speed, I have not come across that because it's so fast you don't even notice it, right? Like, I talk pretty fast. So I take information in really quick because being English, like, we talk really fast. Like, I know I've slowed my speech down a lot. So you can imagine how fast my speech must have been if this is me talking slow, actively trying to talk slower. Like, yeah. Anyway, but these are the two biggest problems that a lot of people have with audiobooks. Now, if you can find the right narrator, find the right speed, because that's also a really big one. Like, I can't listen to audiobooks less than 2.5. I can't. Like, at that point, it's like, and then she said hello. Like, I can't do it. That's how it sounds to me. And when people talk, and sometimes they talk slower in person, I'm already like wishing they'd get lost. Like, go away. Like, it shouldn't take 20 hours to hear you ask for whatever it is you're going to order for you in coffee shop. You know what I mean? Like, that's how I am. Now, some people prefer it that way, and that's cool. But that's why there are different speeds, because we are all different. So these are things that you should be prepared for is finding narrators that you like listening to, finding books that have been edited correctly so that you're not hearing all the clippy clappies and the mouthies, and that you find the right speed. And I really think these are really important. And if you want some help from me, just drop me an email. I finally set my email up. It's ladolterous@gmail.com. Okay. So you can find me by email and I can help you navigate the world of audiobooks, because I'd like to think that, you know, I'm a step up from a novice now. The other thing I wanted to talk to you about before we get into the meat and potatoes of the episode is it's Indigenous Heritage Month right now. So June is Indigenous Heritage Month. And I actually partnered with Tundra Books and they sent me a bunch of kids' Indigenous books to help kids and, believe it or not, me too, parents learn more about Indigenous culture. And I was really excited to receive these books and I'm going to show them to you now. Okay. Like I said, Tundra Books sent me these books. Okay. And I've spent, because my kids have a part Indigenous father, we didn't know much about the culture. Like, I know what he knows, which isn't a lot because he wasn't raised on the reserve, okay? So we've been reading these books a lot. This one is my daughter Trinity's favorite, Metis Like Me. Like, the cover is textured. It's really nice. And, like, I really loved all the artwork in here. Like, such a beautiful book. Such a beautiful book. So I'm really grateful that they sent me all of these books. And I definitely learned something. And I know my kids did too. So this is The Barren Grounds. This one is a mid-grade book. And my kids, like, I'm reading it to them. It's taking time because we do a chapter. We've been doing a chapter a night. And it's not holding my youngest daughter's attention so much because it's a little more grown up than she likes fast, quick, gimme, 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 and so she can go kind of books right now. That my daughter Serenity is really enjoying that one. This one's I Would Give You My Tail. Now, this one, like, I sat down afterwards and I'm like, the artwork's a little bit more simplistic, but the story was absolutely beautiful. Like, I really enjoyed this one. This is my favorite. Okay, this one is Little Shoes. Now, this one has, like the artwork in here was magnificent. My son, Thomas, now he has autism and he really enjoyed this one. This is the one he always picks up. He goes, give me some of this. Give me some of this. Yeah, this is great. I loved it. And then this is actually the one with the best artwork, as far as I'm concerned, the best cover. You Were Made for This World. And, like, look at it. Like, the artwork in here is absolutely magnificent. And we're still working our way through this one. But we are learning a ton. And I really feel like if you want to learn more about Indigenous culture and Indigenous heritage, that sometimes kids' books can be a really excellent way of doing that. You know what I mean? A really excellent way of doing that. So I want to thank again for Tantra Books for partnering up with me. And I've been making posts and talking about, like, how much we've enjoyed the books. So you can check those out on my Instagram. That's Bookalorian Designs or Adulterous Whore. Yeah, I'm doing it on both because, you know, why have one Instagram account when you can have two? Okay, now let's get to the meat and potatoes. So there were three books specifically that kept coming up. Like, for here, like, some of the books that have been removed have only been removed from K to 9 schools. So K is like 4 to 5 years of age. Grade 9, I think, is like, what, 14, I think, because 15, 16, yeah, something like that. So it's around 15 years of age. So one of the first books I'm going to talk about is a book called All Boys Aren't Blue. And that was written by George M. Johnson. Okay. Now, I had never heard of this book until I started researching for this episode. And it's basically, he calls it manifesto memoir of, like, what it was like for him being a Black boy, a gay Black boy, growing up, and all the things that happened to him, how he felt, how he dealt with challenges, the things people said, you know, stuff like that. So I read it. I got it from the library and I read it. And honestly, like, I don't understand why some of these school boards have banned this book for high schoolers, because honestly, there wasn't a great deal in this book that I felt teenagers weren't already reading or knew about. Like, there was nothing surprising in here for teenagers, and the book is geared towards teenagers. Like, it was 14 to 18. So, and I feel like that's exactly where the book should be. Like, a lot of parents were going to these school boards and requesting these books be removed. Now, most of the school boards in the US where this book had come up, they didn't remove it from the schools. They left it. The parents challenged and it didn't go through. And I really feel like that's exactly how it should have been. Yes, there's some stuff in there that are probably going to make parents uncomfortable. Okay, so the chapter 4, for example, is called Fags Play Football. Anyway, I do not like that. I do not like that term. I think it's very derogative. But at the same time, he was talking about himself. And I really don't feel that you have a right to tell somebody that they can't call themselves something. Because for him, I think that was him validating that. He acknowledges that people use that word for what kind of person he is, but he is not taking it as an offense. So honestly, if you can take the power away from a word, who am I to tell you that you shouldn't? Now, there is one part in the book. It's chapter 15, and it's Losing My Virginity Twice. Now, there is going to be a little bit of language here. So if you don't like it, you might want to skip through this part. But he discusses like how in schools they talk about like the potential of getting STDs, but they don't talk about it in the same way they do with heterosexual sex. They don't talk about it with gay sex, right? So he's talking about the understanding of needing condoms and all stuff like that, right? And then he's talking about his first sexual encounter where they're older. I think they're in college. Like pulls down his pants and pulls his dick out. Okay. Now that might upset a parent, especially if it's in the hands of a much younger child. But like I said, these books are geared towards 14 to 18 year olds. So really, if your kid doesn't know about The Birds and the Bees by this point, is that you're failing as a parent? Or are you upset that it's two boys? I guess that's really hard to say, but that's in there. And then he quickly went to giving me head. Again, what 14 to 18 year old doesn't know about getting a blowjob? You know what I mean? I'm fairly certain that this is a non-starter. But again, maybe it's because of the LGBTQ content. It's really hard to say because they're saying it's the sexual content, but maybe it's just making them uncomfortable that it's two men. I don't know. That's, like I said, I can't comment on something I don't actually know. Now, he also talks about porn and the fact that he received anal sex and how painful it was. Now, these are all things that a young man, let's say a 14-year-old, has discovered his sexuality and that he likes boys. Like, don't you think these are things that he should be learning about because no one's really talking about it? So I don't know. For me personally, I really feel like this book should be allowed in high schools. Definitely. Like, I did not find this book problematic in the slightest. I think that should be a parental responsibility, not a school thing. So I think maybe our schools are doing the right thing, but it's really hard to say at this point, to be completely honest with you. So the next book is a book called Me and Earl and the Dying Girl. And the reason I picked this book is because there is no LGBTQ content in it, but it was still challenged. Now, this one is being banned and challenged for the explicit sexual nature. The fact that they feel it's degrading to girls, the way they're being talked about, and there is bad language. What 14 to 18 year old is not swearing? Like, I'm sorry. It's just, they do. You know they do. Now, some of the quotes, like I'm going to read you a couple of the quotes that come from the book. And these are things that parents have picked up and try to challenge from the school. Girls like good looking guys, and I'm not so very good looking. In fact, I sort of look like pudding. So a parent was like, a girl's calling herself looking like pudding, that could really be seen as degrading. pudding, I love pudding. I think pudding looks delicious. So I really didn't get that one, but okay. Again, I didn't find anything disturbing in the book. Not really. Like, there was a lot of the swear word fuck. There was a lot of pussy talk in there. Like, you know, you're a pussy. I like vaginas. That kind of stuff. Like, I really didn't think for 14 to 18 year olds that there was anything in this book that really... There was nothing. Not really. Like, anyone making the claim that this book is basically pornography, like, they've either never read the book or they don't know what pornography is. That was kind of where I was at because I borrowed this one from the library and I got the audiobook and I got the ebook and I went through with a fine tooth comb and I really, honestly, I didn't see anything in here. And I went in with the mindset that I wanted this book banned, okay? I was like, I'm going to find exactly what it is in there. And I couldn't find anything. Like, I live right by the high school, okay? The high school is right there. And I see these kids walking out and you should hear them effing and blinding and calling each other names and whatnot. Like, this book was pretty tame compared to what I hear out on the street. So honestly, I think challenging or banning this book in high school is absolutely freaking ridiculous. I've never seen anything like it in my life where people are like, oh, she looks like pudding. Like, come on. That was ridiculous. So the last book... And this was the book that was the big one in Alberta, okay? Okay, and the book was Genderqueer. Now, Genderqueer was written as, again, it's a memoir based on a girl, and she didn't feel like a girl. You know what I mean? So, and she didn't understand why she had to be like other girls because she didn't want to wear a shirt on the beach. You know what I mean? And yeah. So this one I did have a problem with.
Okay.
So this book has been removed from Alberton School's K-9. And I was reading through it. And at first I'm like, really seeing much in here. And then we get to a specific section of the book. Now I'm going to paste and it's going to be on the screen. Okay. And if you don't want to see it, look away right now. Okay. But it literally is a graphic of two boys and one of them is sucking the penis and you can see he's sucking the penis on the page. Now, normally books like this, like kids can't read, like small kids can't read the word cock or anything like that because it also says, I can't wait to have your cock in my mouth. Okay. So whatever, if it was just the words, like, I don't know why everyone would be freaking out quite so badly because most kindergartners can't read that, but most kindergartners can quite clearly see that their genitalia is in somebody's mouth. Okay. So I really feel that Alberton schools have made a very smart choice by relocating, because that's what they did. They haven't banned it. It's not gone from the school board. It's just been made so that it's only accessible now in high school, which I think is a smart play because, like I said, like, the book is aimed at 16 plus anyway. It's not, they're not doing this to ban books because they don't like LGBTQ content. It's making sure that it hits the hands of the people it was intended for. Like, I use the example, Haunting Adeline, because somebody asked about this in one of my book groups. I'm like, my niece wants to read this book. She's 15 and everyone's like, no, no, whoa, whoa, breaks, 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 breaks. But yeah. The same people are arguing that these books should be in schools. No, honey. No, no, honey. Watching a little cartoon dude getting a blowjob is not something I want my six-year-old seeing, okay? So I really feel that this one probably was a good call. Now, the rest of the books, because I went through all the books that were banned or challenged for 2024 on school boards across North America. These were my top three picks because two of them were absolutely stupid. Like, there was absolutely zero reason, like I said. And then there was this one. And I believe it should be in high school only. And it's probably one of the only books out of them all. And it was only because of the pictures, okay? It had nothing to do with the content per se, but definitely they don't need illustrations of how, no, I'm sorry. That was a big no from me, dog, okay? Now, challenging books is within parents' rights, obviously. And school boards can say no. A book being challenged doesn't necessarily mean it's going to get banned, okay? Especially if it's just one parent. But there are books that really should be relocated to the right age groups. And some of them, you know what, should be a parent's decision. And I feel very strongly about that. My teenage child having access to a book in school, that's on them. You know what I mean? That's on them. They want to read that, go right at it. Go. You have a conversation. You want to have a chat. It's something you don't understand. It's something you want to talk about. You come to me. We'll talk. But if there is a book that I feel might be more than I want my kids to know at this point, that should be up to me whether or not I let them read them. But I also don't want to be parenting your kid. It's not up to me to tell you what you should and shouldn't be letting your children read. And I really think that this is the big problem right now, is that some parents feel that they are within their rights to dictate that their kid's not reading it. So no one's kid should be reading it. And I'm not okay with that. Now, there might be a book that I don't want my kids to read. And I will make that decision because I'm their parent until they turn to a certain age. I'm not going to tell you that your kids shouldn't be reading that. That's none of my business. I parent my kids. You parent your kids. That's it. Benito. But there are some books that maybe you didn't know about, like genderqueer. I didn't know. For me, I thought maybe people were just like, it's LGBTQ content and I don't like it and I don't want it in school. No, this one was, yeah, a little much, especially as because, you know, I'm sure that there are librarians keeping an eye on these kids to make sure they don't go to the sections they shouldn't be in and are not picking up these books. But sometimes, you know, happens and kids get hold of things they shouldn't get hold of. And I think at that point, that is the school's responsibility to be making sure that it's not accessible. But again, maybe middle schoolers, like, I guess that's where the line is for me, is like, should it be accessible for kids in grades like 7, 8, 9? I don't know. Let me know in the comments what you think. Now, as you can see, like, I'm off the cuffing now. Like, before I was scripting what I was saying and I was trying to be more mindful. Now I'm just saying whatever I want. And it means that sometimes the episodes are going to go a little longer, a little shorter. It's really hard to say. But I'm finding this is easier, like, to just talk. I've just got my little notes off to the side when I forget what I'm talking about. But I'm really glad that you're here, and I'm really glad that you followed me into season two. Now, if you have any questions, you can always email me at ladulterous@gmail.com. Follow me on my socials. I've changed all the names now. So my TikTok is ladulterous, I think. Yeah. And my YouTube is at ladulterous. My Facebook is a ladulterous whore, and the whore is a zero because Facebook did not like that word. And I kind of wish I just left that word off now, and I might take it off, but I'll let you know. And then my Instagram is ladulterous whore because that was the only one that let me have a bad word. Like, seriously, you have like book bitches and whatnot. I don't know why whore is such a problem. But I'm also going to be starting a book club of ladulterous ladies. So that I'm working on that right now. I really hope to see you back next week. But in the meantime, I am doing my Read Like Rory challenge, and it's Handmaid's Tale. I'll be doing that in Friday. Holy guacamole. That, yeah, this is going to be a lot of fun. And watch out for my other podcast that's coming, the Toppling TBR with Hannah. It's all going to be good fun. I'm hoping that having someone to talk to is going to make this a little less weird, like I'm talking to myself, but we'll see how it goes. Have the reading week you deserve, and I will see you on Friday. Thanks for joining me. I'm Stacey Wright, signing off from The Ladulterous Whore. Take care, readers.